had an opportunity to take in the big three.
Well, I have had a chance to attend one event, and I was very impressed with the production, the promotion of it, and all of the marketing. Ice Cube and his staff have done a wonderful job. On the other hand, I think it's up for the players and the product to improve.
Rick Bucher. Bucher.
I've watched it. I have not attended. I've watched it. I've seen plenty of promotion on social media. I've talked to Al Harrington and Steven Jackson, Kenyon Martin about their participation. Seems to be, like, it has the chance to be the master, the golf version of the master circuit.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher. Bucher. Greetings, friends, Romans, countrymen, basketball fans. I am Shane Freeman, the producer of the BJ and Bucher podcast. BJ and Rick are out today for episode 47. And so I am going to bring to you an interview that Rick recently did with former NBA coach and NBA legend Byron Scott. If you don't know who Byron is, just go to Wikipedia and type in Byron Scott and you'll find out who he is. But you should know who he is if you're a basketball fan. But anyways, Rick had a conversation with Byron. Very good conversation. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So without further ado, here's Byron and Rick's interview together. And then afterward, I'll give you guys some closing remarks. Enjoy.
All right. I'd like to now welcome our very special guest to the BJ and Bucher podcast, one Byron Scott, former player, former coach. Byron, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, Rick.
So I have to ask you, just because the first thing I saw was a couple weeks ago now, but you announced your retirement from coaching in the NBA, and I was a little bit surprised because I look at your age, I look at what you've done, and I thought, well, this guy still has some grapes on the vine. What made you decide to make that decision and announce it?
I don't, you know what, I don't exactly know what I said, but I know I didn't, I don't know. I didn't think I said I was retiring. I think I said I was done with the NBA. Still got a little bitterness, I guess, with the way the last job ended with the Lakers, the whole league in general, the non-loyalty and the lies and deceit that goes along, just made me feel that, hey, I don't need to do this anymore. So that's how I felt at the time when I talked to TMZ about it, when I was leaving to go wherever I was going at that time.
Got you.
And I still pretty much feel that way.
Okay. Because I saw the headline, and that's always dangerous when you try to take something from the headline. And then I saw your remarks, and I thought that you'd made a definitive decision. It's interesting that you feel that way when I think about all your accomplishments. Three-time NBA champion. Coach of the year, coached a couple all-star games. Is this something that blossomed as a result of this last experience, or is it something that was sort of an accumulation of experiences with the NBA over more recent times?
Yeah, more of an accumulation, and I wouldn't say the NBA, just I guess the teams that I've been with.
Yep.
The only one I thought that was, pretty much upfront and ended on really good terms, which still to this day is a really good friend of mine, was New Jersey. Rod Thorne was, straight up front with me about everything and, the reasons what he was doing, why he was doing it. And, everywhere else from that point on has been, just a lot of deceit. You just get to the point, Rick, where you're saying, man, because that's not me. I'm not that guy. If I tell you, if I give you my word, if I tell you something, we're sitting in the room, we're man to man. I'm kind of like Al Pacino in Scarface. You remember those scene where he said, I don't break my word or my you-know-what for nobody. And that's just me. That's just my personality. That's just the way I am. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And you can hold me to that. So I just felt over the last, 6 years, 7 years or so, that accumulation of the places that I've been, I just got, I guess, fed up pretty much with it.
Right. So with all that you accomplished with the Lakers, having coached the Lakers, how would you define your relationship with the franchise at this point?
To be honest with you, I went to their last home game last year. I saw Jeannie and I talked to her. She gave me a great hug. I gave her a great, and I still love that organization. You know, my backcourt mate, my buddy, my boy, you know, Irvin, who's taking over. I see him almost, you know, three times a week at the gym. You know, we still talk. Mm-hmm. Rob Pelinka, I got a chance to see when I was at that game as well. You know, Luke Walton is a guy who I've known since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I still have nothing but love for that organization. I still want that organization to do extremely well. The people that are involved in that organization right now, and I mean at the head of the organization, was not the people that were basically there when I was there,
right?
Except Jeannie, and Jeannie kind of kept hands off. So, like I said, I mean, I have no ill will whatsoever. I'm very happy and very content in what I'm doing, enjoying my life. I look forward to the season starting because I'm a fan. You know, I'm a basketball guy, so I want them to do well because of the relationship I do have with that organization. The past and the present. So, you know, I don't wish nothing bad on anybody. I want them to do great because, yeah, number one, my boy is there, Irvin, who's taken over, and number two, Jeannie, who's been nothing but great since I've known her. So I want that organization to do well.
It's amazing how quickly things seem to be changing. And as far as the court is concerned, nothing has changed yet as far as the success of that team. But there seems to be a different view suddenly now of players interested in playing in LA. And we didn't have that for a couple of years there. I think you presided coaching-wise. You had to deal with that, right? What is it like to see that change this abruptly, where you're seeing the Lakers sort of get that that vibe that this is a place that guys want to be, and there's the promise of potential success where it was hard to envision that for a while?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting their swagger back, I think. You know, 90% of it is because of the fact that you got Magic there, and you got Jeannie there, and it is no doubt who's in charge, who's running it, and you know the buck kind of stops with those guys. So I think every free agent knows the direction that their franchise is going in. You know Irvin can sell, you know, ice to an Eskimo. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he is one of the best sellmen in the league. But the one thing about him is when he's selling it to you, when he's talking to these guys, you first have to be convinced, you know that it's going to work. And I think when he talks to you and he talks to players, that comes out clearly, you know, that he feels that this organization is going to be back to championship level basketball sooner than a lot of people think. And I thought all the moves that they made this summer, I thought were some great moves, you know. And like I said, I get a chance to see him in the gym. We try not to talk about shop, but, you know, sometimes we can't help it when, you know, they just struck a deal. And I see him that morning. I give him a big hug and say, man, that was nice. That was a great deal. And then we'll kind of elaborate on it a little bit. But for the most part, you know, I think him just being in charge, you know, just having Magic in charge, and the success that he's had on the court, the success that he's had off the court. If you are a basketball player that knows anything about your history, you want to rub shoulders with a guy like that. You want to get to know or pick his brain and get to know as much from him as possible. So yeah. I think that's one of the biggest attractions. And the fact that, like you said, playing in L.A. is a privilege, and putting on that purple and gold is a privilege. And I think guys have forgotten that. And I think you got some guys now that are starting to remember.
Well, you had to preside over a really difficult situation in my mind, because you had Kobe there. Physically, Kobe not being what Kobe had been, but still Kobe. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it. And then you had really young guys that I think there was this idea that like Kobe was going to mold them or lead them. But I think because of his physical challenges, that opportunity for him to do that on a daily basis wasn't there. How did you go about navigating? I mean, just how difficult was it navigating these young guys and this supremely established, accomplished guy, and trying to make all of that function?
Well, I mean, obviously it's difficult, you know, because you do want your leader, KB, to be there as much as possible. But it's also would have been a detriment to him and us if he has to practice every day. There's no way in the world he could do that. So he can't lead by example like he would on a day-to-day basis when he was 5 years younger or 10 years younger. So, you know, I had to, you know, sit down with him, and we really had to go over a game plan, because my number one priority, you know, especially in that second year, was to make sure that he finished the season. I didn't want him to be injured. I didn't want him to go through what he had went through the previous 2 years. I wanted him to go out, so to speak, with a bang, and I wanted him to be on his 2 feet. You know
did,
what I mean?
You did. Well, you did that.
He went out with a big bang.
So no kidding.
That, mission accomplished as far as that's concerned.
1,000%.
But as far as the young guys, it was really trying to just teach him what work ethic was all about.
Yeah.
And how hard it is to be a champion in this league. And the days that he was there, the good thing about it, he was there 110%.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that we couldn't have him there every day to do that. You know, and there was days where I would just tell him, stay home, man. I don't even want you to get in the car and drive here and have to put your body through that type of wear and tear. And then, because I know him, he'll come out and he'll want to shoot or do something.
Yeah.
And that just defeats the purpose. So that was very difficult to do, because, like you said, it's great when you have a leader. And those guys didn't have a leader. You know, they were all about the same age, so they didn't understand what hard work was really all about.
Yeah.
And that probably was one of the biggest challenges of all.
You know what I'm really curious about? Nick Young going to the Warriors. I know what they have there as a culture. I know the team that they have. But I also know that when it comes to championships, and you can speak to this having won three of them, like, you need everybody on the same page, everybody accepting their role, and everybody committed to doing that role 1,000%. And I'm not saying that Nick can't do that. But to me, like, he's never been in that kind of atmosphere before. Talent aside, I wonder how well that's going to take. Because for me, their chemistry might be the most powerful thing they have.
You know, it's interesting. When I saw that they signed him, I was saying the same thing. I was like, whoa, this is going to be interesting. You know, because to me, it goes one of two ways. Either, I mean, they don't have to conform to him. He has to conform to them.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to get on board right away, or it's going to be a situation like we had in L.A. way back in the day, where if that guy didn't fit, you know, the top two or three guys would go to the coaches or to the gym and say, you got to get him out of here. And it's going to be, to me, that simple. He's either going to fit in. And I think the one thing, and I love Nick, you know, Young, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was tough on him because, number one, I wanted him to be a two-way player, and I thought he had you know, the type of skills where he could do that. But to me, in this situation, he's going to have to go in there and prove to them that it's all about winning. It's not about stats. It's not about Swaggy P. It's about the Golden State Warriors and winning another championship. And like we did in L.A. years ago, if we had a guy that we didn't feel conformed to that, I remember Magic, and I won't say names, but I remember Magic going and saying, this guy got to go. And you know what? Management got rid of him. You know, so I think it's going to be a situation like that. And his personality is such a great guy. It's no doubt about that. But he's going to have to conform to, you know, working hard every day, playing on that defensive end every single night, because that's how Golden State wins championships. Everybody gives them all the credit about their offense, but they've been one of the top defensive teams over the last 3 years in this league, and that's why they've been to the finals three straight years as well.
Yeah. Is there a guy that you had questions about that you played with that, like maybe a Nick coming into the Warriors situation, that it did turn out where that guy, like, did come on board, where at first you were thinking, I don't know if this guy fits, but he's a success story, or he's an example of, you know what? Guy can look like he doesn't fit the championship profile, but he proved that he was able to get it.
Well, the one name that kind of comes to mind, and he didn't play a lot, but he accepted his role and he did some good things for us, was Tony Campbell. You know, he was a guy that came in, like I said, didn't get a lot of playing time. He came into a situation where our rotation was pretty much set. But the thing that, you know, that I loved about TC is that every day in practice, he worked his butt off. He would push us every single day. He understood, you know, what his role was, and he kind of took that as a challenge every single day to make us better. And then when he had free agency chance, he went to Minnesota and, you know, had a pretty good career. So, you know, he's the one guy that really kind of comes to mind when I think of guys that that came in and I was like, I don't know about this guy, because I know he's an offensive guy. He never really had to work, never really had to play defense. And we're asking this guy to conform to the way we play. And I don't know if he can. And he was able to do that, you know, in training camp, where we were all kind of like, whoa, okay, you know, this guy can be a positive influence on our team and can fit into the things that we need. And if anybody gets hurt, you know, he can step in and hopefully do some really good things.
Before I let you go, I have to ask, just because the Lakers just got the $500,000 fine for the tampering accusation. And I wrote a piece talking to people around the league who said, hey, if you're not tampering, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And in terms of, like, you know, we know the conversations that go on. And there are unwritten rules in terms of, it's one thing if agents and front office people are talking. It's another thing if teams are trying to go directly to players. And now we got players recruiting players. And I wonder, for all of your experience, though, I wonder, Byron, like, how different is it really today in terms of the conversation between players or the recruitment or going after guys? I mean, are we talking about a brand new day? Are we talking about things being done in a much different way, or are we just more aware of those things?
No, I think, Rick, we're just much more aware. You have social media. You have so many other devices now. There's not a whole lot you can do that doesn't go, you know, unnoticed.
Yeah.
You're going to find out. Something's gonna slip through the crack. Somebody's filming something. Somebody's taking a picture. Somebody's videotaping. I mean, it's just so hard now to have a conversation. I mean, even during when I was coaching the Lakers, I'm in New York for the ping pong thing. And I'm talking to Russell Westbrook, and I get a call from the league the next day saying, you know, you're tampering, because I said to Russell, I love the way you play. I love the way you compete every single day. I would pay to watch you play.
Yeah.
And I got a call saying that you're tampering. I mean, it's so many devices, so many things nowadays that you just can't get away from. So I think it's more of social media and technology nowadays compared to back in back in the 80s or the 90s, everybody's much more aware of that. And back then, you didn't have camera phones and all this stuff where you could all of a sudden get somebody with a picture. You know, that's true, too. I mean, thank God we didn't. But I think that's it. I don't think it's a sign of the times. I don't think it's a change in the players. I just think, it's just technology and social media. That's the thing that's really kind of caught up with everything.
Yeah. Well, Byron, I had an opportunity to see you play. Always respected your game. You always carried yourself with distinction as a head coach. I hope that this is somehow, some way that, however the NBA has disenchanted you, that at some point there's a peace made, and I get to see you still back around working in the league in some sort of capacity. In the meantime, enjoy the downtime, work on the golf game, and thank you so much for taking time to join us here on the BJ and Bucher podcast.
Rick, it's always a pleasure, man. Take care of yourself, and thank you again.
You got it.
What an amazing interview. I hope you enjoyed that. That was Rick Bucher and Byron Scott. Make sure that you follow the BJ and Bucher show on Twitter at BJ and Bucher, as well as at BJ Armstrong, at Rick Bucher, and I am at Shane Freeman on both Instagram and Twitter. Also want to encourage you guys to make sure that if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Play, wherever it is that you're listening, Podcast Addict app, whatever, wherever you're listening, please make sure that you rate and review. Leave a positive review of the show if you really like it. If there's some things about the show that you don't like, please make sure that you state that in your review, so that way we can check that out, because we do read those reviews and we do want to know what you guys really think, okay? You're helping the show out a lot. Please make sure you stop by bjandbucher.com for the latest episodes of the show, as well as join our email list, all right? Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.